The following program contains explicit content. Listener discretion advised.
Rabbit season! Duck season! Rabbit season! Duck season! Rabbit season! Duck season!
Waka, 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 waka! Hey, you're a great crowd! Thank you, and thank you! Hey, waka, waka! Ah, waka, waka, waka!
Today. I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
My name is Doug.
You're on the line with Frickin' Comedy, brought to you by the Blue Room Comedy Club. Visit blueroomcomedyclub.com for schedules and contact information. And now, Frickin' Comedy.
My new best friend, Carmen Morales. How's it going?
I'm well. How are you?
I am doing super well. How's being on the West Coast treating you?
It's nice, you know, I'm not going to lie. The weather really makes up for how insufferable this city can be.
Oh, for sure, for sure. You're preaching to the choir, 10 years in L.A., and...
Oh, yeah.
I was actually doing the research for this interview. I looked up your Facebook page, and on our mutual friends list, the first two people on our mutual friends list are the two greatest people on the planet, so that's cool.
Oh, which ones?
Ed Galvez and Buckball.
Oh, nice. Yeah, they're both great.
Yeah, absolutely. Ed, I would still consider probably my best friend on the planet. And, you know, Buck, I've known since he was going by Charles. So.
Yeah, I knew him when he started doing stand-up in Orlando.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, welcome to this show. And thank you so much for calling in.
For sure. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, absolutely. I know it's sort of early for you.
It is. I mean, it is. I do live a comic's life, but at least it's in the double digits. It's when it's single digits, I don't like it.
Oh, for sure. For sure. No, I did a show last night and ended up hanging out with the traveling comics who were coming through town. And I'm still, even though it's one for me, it's still a little sleepy. So did you do any shows last night?
I did. I drove 6 hours each way to do a one-nighter in the Bay Area.
Oh, fun, though. Bay Area is always good.
Yeah. It's always fun. I was booked as, like, a headline. They booked me as a headliner and were, like, giving me decent money. And I got there, and it turns out it was, like, a showcase. So I drove 6 hours just to do 15 minutes and then had to just turn around and drive back.
Well, you know, sometimes things do not work out as we are told.
Yeah, we roll the dice every time. You never know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, with the radio job and going off to do shows, all my shows are there and backs. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm so glad to have you on. You're going to be in town this week.
I am, and I'm excited. This is my second time back to Springfield and at the Blue Room. And last time I was there, I had such a great time. And I hope this time we'll also... Yeah, Missouri gets a lot of shit, you know, with all the people that come to the comedy show are fun.
Sure, sure. No, absolutely. And you know, Chris works really hard to get good audiences in that venue.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we're excited to have you. We've got a couple of games and stuff we're going to play on this podcast and whatnot. But,
oh, yeah, let's do it.
First things first, softball questions.
Oh, I'm straight.
Okay. Sorry. Baseball questions, then.
Okay.
All right. So, first and foremost, when did you start doing comedy?
Let's see here. I started doing comedy in, I think, 2007.
And whereabouts?
In Orlando, Florida. Please don't hold it against me. It's just where my parents were doing it. Yeah, that's where I was. I was born in Florida, in Orlando, and then I started doing, at the time, it was pretty funny. I had a full-time job, two part-time jobs, and I was going to school full-time, so I just, like, wasn't sleeping. And ironically enough, my boss at one of my jobs was like, "What are you doing here? I feel like you should be doing something." Like, even she was straight-talking me to go try. And she had a neighbor who was a stand-up comedian, but he wasn't famous. And, like, that to me at the time was unheard of. Like, I didn't know you could just do it as a job. You know, it was just always, like, I thought you were handpicked by the comedy gods. and then you were just a comedian. Because this is also before this current boom is happening, and there was a lot less comedians in general. You know, it was during that kind of lull in the early aughts. And so I went to my first mic, my first open mic, and I made a deal with myself. If I got any laughs, I would come back and keep trying. And if I didn't, at least I would have given it a shot. And I went up. I didn't have anything prepared. I told some story about having a husband that I met at a Bennigan's. None of it was true. And then and I got some laughs, and I came back, did it again, and I ate a big, huge, fat cock. It was really bad. But then I already heard what the laughs sound like, so then I just kept coming back more and more. Now I'm completely addicted, just like a heroin addict.
As we all are. I've known plenty of people who are able to kick heroin but still do stand-up.
Right. Stand-up's way harder.
Absolutely.
With heroin, you have, like, methadone. You have something to wean you off of. Stand-up, what are you going to do, improv? You know, it's just there's no substitute to it.
That's true. Though I do also do improv, but, stand-up's
so
where
you know,
it's at.
You know it's not the same. Yeah.
No, it's not the same. Not at all. In fact, I do improv much less than I do stand-up.
Yeah. I mean, I play as well, but it's just so much. It's kind of like how if you did drugs and then stand-up was like freebasing. Freebasing, I mean, there's no turning back.
I don't know to speak from that, but I will say that there is no turning back from the stand-up.
There's got to be hard drugs in Missouri, right? There has to be.
I'm sure that some of our listeners are more than familiar. other softball questions. So when did you move to Los Angeles?
I've been out here about 2 years. Now, and I've lived in 3 different places already, because the city will definitely they make it hard sometimes.
Yeah, that's how it goes. By the time I moved back here, I moved out there with all of the stuff one accumulates in a lifetime, and mm-hmm. by the time I moved back here, I moved back with just clothes and comic books.
The things that matter, you know?
Right,
look
exactly.
Back. Entertain your brain. That's all that matters. Yeah. I lived, before I moved to Los Angeles, I lived on the road for 6 years, so I also didn't have much to begin with, you know? So it was an easy move. It was an easy move.
For sure. And I wish I had done it reverse, you know, like, because I wish I had done it the way you had done it and started not in Los Angeles and done the road first and then moved to Los Angeles. Because the opposite is very difficult if you don't make a name for yourself before you go on the road.
Yeah, it's real hard. I tell people that all the time. Like, if you're going to go to Los Angeles, make sure you're good first, really, because it's so much harder.
Oh, for sure.
To grow here, you know, it's hard to grow 3 minutes at a time in front of people who don't want you to succeed. You know.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not going to say I sucked when I moved back out here, but I definitely grew a lot more once I got, in the Midwest on the road and such.
Yeah, once you got enough time to actually have your own thoughts and to think, you know what I mean? Like, that's the other thing, too, is, like, it takes so much just to survive in the city that you need a minute. You need a minute to have thoughts and to think about things and to wonder about things. Otherwise, what the hell are you doing, you know?
Absolutely.
You got to think in order to have jokes.
So you do a lot of big rooms. Like I just saw on your Facebook that you've done the main room recently.
Uh huh.
And
second female door girl in history at the Comedy Store.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, impressive! Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yes, absolutely. Do you do any smaller shows around there? Any of the alternative stuff? Like, how often do you go to the Lexington?
I do the Lexington pretty often.
Okay.
Again, I'm friends with Ed Galvez, so usually if he just calls me and I don't have anything going on, I'll go there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And Time and Tragedy is a fun show to do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's nice to go to a place where on the wall it's spray-painted no shorts on stage. I can respect that.
Oh,
know?
did they finally do that? Was
yep.
I think that might have been because of me.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a strong...
Were you a guy that wore shorts on stage?
I still do if I'm not getting paid.
See, I'm an old fuddy-duddy when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, I know. I get a lot of flack for it, but I do not care. I tell jokes about my mom masturbating. I don't know how classy I need to be.
Right.
You know. Now, if I'm getting paid, mm-hmm. I'm getting paid. That's a different thing. You know.
Right.
But you know, you work. Like for instance, I come to work in shorts. I'm a radio DJ. I get off of work. I go to a show, and I go to a show like in Fayetteville. I'm not gonna stop by my house to put on pants if I'm not getting paid. If I'm getting paid, then I'll do what's expected of me. You know.
You could always just prepare and bring pants with you.
Nah.
To work.
Nah. Yeah, Fayetteville's hot. I'll wear shorts. This is a conversation that will not end with us agreeing. I already can already tell.
Oh, it's fine. But I don't care.
I am more than aware that I am on the losing side of this argument, but I will continue.
Well, it's like I'm older. The younger generation agrees with you. They don't care. But I grew up in comedy when the stage was something to be respected, and it didn't matter if you were practicing or performing. So it was always like a, you know, it was just like a sign of respect type of deal.
See, I started in 2005 in LA, mm-hmm. and I never saw shorts as a sign of disrespect personally. I saw, you know, shorts as more of a personal character thing. Like I'm up there and I am presenting myself to the audience. And normally, I never wear pants unless I'm, in my regular day-to-day life when I'm not on stage, I never wear pants unless I'm trying to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
So my personal persona is a shorts guy, you know? Like, I just wear shorts, you know? And nobody gives, all of these people who are, like, super, not all of these, I don't like to make blanket statements. But a lot of the people I know who give people crap about wearing shorts on stage don't say word one about Dave Cross, you know, and I don't know that the man owns a pair of pants.
There's been plenty of specials he's worn pants, but David Cross has also earned the right to say, fuck you. He's given so much to comedy that he has earned the right to have his ankles breathe. You know what I mean? Because that's the other thing, too, is it's like you get to a certain point where it's like, obviously, you can do whatever you want. But it was, I was also raised by like old road dogs and stuff like that. Like people who were there when comedy, mattered a lot more. there was more performance in the performance art of stand up, you know? And, so it was just that it's just like an old, like chip on my shoulder that I have that I'll probably never get rid of, you know?
Oh, sure. You and pretty much everybody.
But, I mean, there's it's things are changing. Like, you know, there's a lot more alt things that are being accepted. I have a friend of mine who refuses to not wear shorts on stage, and he does great. You know, these are all rules we made up. There are no rules, really, other than don't get fired. And
Name, sister. I want to hear who this shorts comic is.
His name's Alex Luchin. He's a comic out of Louisiana. He's very, very, very funny.
But yeah, anyway, so you're going to be in town this weekend, and you said it's this your second time around. Is this going to be a one-off show for you, or are you doing a run?
I'm doing a run. I'm actually bouncing around. It's me and my friend Katie Hughes, who's a very funny comedian, who I'm actually also writing a cartoon with, oddly enough. She's such a hilarious writer, and she's so funny and silly, and I think a lot of people need that right now just because the internet used to be an escape from everything horrible, and now it's quite literally become the horrible thing that we were trying to escape, you know, and, reality. And and it's really nice to work with somebody who is just fun, you know, and I think a lot of people need that.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we're here for. As comedians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So on Wednesday, we're going to be doing The Grove.
Down in Rogers.
Mm-hmm. Lowell, Arkansas, I think is where it is.
Oh, is it? And, okay. I always say Rogers because it's right by Rogers. If it's in Lowell, it's just like right outside of Rogers then.
Yeah, Lowell, Arkansas on Wednesday. Thursday, we'll be doing a show in Pittsburgh, Kentucky at the Memorial Auditorium. And then Friday and Saturday we'll be at the Blue Room in Springfield.
Good times. All those venues are really good. I have not had a chance to perform at the Grove yet. Last time I was down there, I did Black Apple Crossing, and that is a good show. Next time you come through, you might want to check that one out. Dan Frigolette just recently did it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I really like what we've got going on around here, and it's become sort of almost like a, I don't know, I want to say a tri-town situation. You know, people who come to our area are most likely also going to be doing down in Fayetteville area, the Northwest Arkansas area, over, you know, Rogers and the Grove and all that stuff.
It just makes sense because at this point, like, so there's so many places that are just starting. Like, it makes it, it's actually a lot easier the way stand-up has kind of evolved, where there's independent shows, there's more independent shows now, and there's almost like an actual circuit. Like, you know, people always like, you work the circuit? I'm like, there is no circuit. But now there kind of is. Like, there's like, oh, if I go to this area, I could bounce around all these places too, instead of us kind of being like slaves to clubs. You know what I mean? Because that's kind of how it was before, again, this boom happened, where you may have a little town that doesn't have very many people, but now there's at least two or three comics that live there that want to do stand-up, and they've started a show, and and also because of the internet, now they can see, you know, comics that they enjoy that maybe aren't famous but are really funny that they really enjoy, and they're like, oh, hey, you're going to be close by, why don't you come here too and do this show, and we'll throw you some money or whatever, we'll take care of you. And then you end up like spreading your putting your little comedy tentacles in all these fun towns that you would have otherwise never been.
Oh, for sure. And you know, and you never know when those people are going to move on, and then you know, then you have someone that you met in one town, they move to a different town, and then you suddenly have a connection in this other town.
Yeah, and it all just keeps building and building. It's great.
Absolutely. And, you know, our town is a great town as far as comedy goes. It's on its way up, but, you know, a lot of people are still, you know, they do what they want to do in town, and then they move somewhere else, and that's one of the ways that I've been connecting to a lot of people. You know, it's because when I first moved
towns, and I'm saying towns loosely, even towns like Chicago that are the same way. I mean, you just got to keep building and building and building until you get to the ocean, which is Los Angeles or New York, you know?
Sure.
And what's great about the internet is sometimes you don't even need to do that. You can stay in your own town and build a YouTube studio in your house, and then, you know, and build a following that way. And then you can come here with a following and then start making demands. There's different options.
Absolutely. So I wanted to do this segment on every one of the podcasts, and I was going to do this segment with you. It's a segment we like to call the Sliders Game.
Okay.
All right. Are you familiar with the 1990s television show Sliders?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So the concept of the show is Jerry O'Connell and the guy who played Gimli on Lord of the Rings are traveling around with two other people from dimension to dimension. And what you're going to do is you're going to slide into a dimension and then ask me yes or no questions about this dimension to decide whether or not you want to stay in this dimension when it's time to slide out.
Okay.
Seems pretty simple. So you are going to slide into, let's say, since we're both in L.A., let's just pick 26th and Santa Monica in Santa Monica.
26th and Santa Monica?
Yeah, where they intersect there. Hey, it doesn't matter. You slide into a universe. Ask me questions.
Okay. Oh, hey, why does everybody dress like that?
Everybody is dressed like that because everyone has bowel issues in this universe. So
from all of the coffee consumption here, everybody just shits themselves on a regular basis. That explains those sacks of shit they all have attached to their hip. That's very interesting. Okay. Did it affect their eyesight? Is there a reason everybody's wearing those really weird visors on their eyes?
Yes, because they shit themselves so much, they shit out their eyes.
Oh my goodness. So is everyone blind?
I mean, they can see through their eyes, but it's in a bag of poop.
Got it. So kind of like a dreamscape. Okay. who's president at this time?
Oh, I don't know if you're going to like this. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger, but not the Arnold Schwarzenegger you know. The character from The End of Days.
Oh, good heavens. Oh, no.
And he's also blind with a bag of poop and eyes.
Does he still have an accent?
He does, but oddly enough, it's not Austrian. He has a Russian accent.
Oh, no. Have the Russians actually taken over yet?
I mean, I don't know that they haven't in this universe, but they certainly have in that one.
So everyone's favorite alcohol here is vodka.
Yes, everyone's favorite alcohol here is vodka, but everyone is such a hipster, they only drink Tito's.
Oh, okay. Duly noted. Tito's. Got it. Okay. I can work with that. I don't know if I'm sitting back, but I can work with the Tito's. Let's see. Is there still any kind of sporting event I could go to?
Well, you know how everyone just kind of poops all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the sporting event.
Oh, so it's like a shot put, but it's shit coming out of your ass.
Basically, yes.
Okay.
And basically, people just watch until the eyes fall out, and then that's when everybody goes, yay!
Because then you're like, mom, then you have no eyes, too. Okay. So there's some people who still have their eyes. Well, I don't know if I'd want to live in this dimension because I still have my eyes.
Oh, well, it is time for you to choose now, so go ahead and make your choice.
I think I am gonna have to. I think I'm gonna have to pass on this dimension.
All right. Well, you slide into a world full of bees, and that's how we play the sliders game.
Damn it!
All right, Carmen. This was fun. So go ahead and plug your stuff this weekend at the Blue Room. Where can people find you online? And just in case people are listening who aren't in Springfield, what coming up shows do you have?
Sure. You can go to CarmenMorales.com for all of your Carmen Morales needs. I am at The Funny Carmen on all the assorted social media. If you like podcasts, which you should technically because you're listening to this one, I have a podcast called No Sir, I Don't Like It. And it's me and another comic, and we interview comics and we talk about stuff they don't like. So anything from like pet peeves to behavior to stuff in the industry to pedophilia. We talk about anything and everything. So if there's anything effect, sparks your cork or whatever, make sure you check that out. It's No Sir Pod at No Sir Pod, No Sir Pod on all the places you can hear podcasts.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for joining us here, and can't wait to see you this weekend. Have a great show.
Thanks so much. I can't wait to be there. You guys are so fun.
Oh, well, thank you.